Hi, everyone. This is Father Jim Churn, and you're listening to the Pope Benedict XVI School of Prayer podcast, where each week we're reflecting on the late Holy Father's catechesis offered from 2011, when in his Wednesday audiences with the faithful, he was laying out the foundational elements of the life of prayer and discussing them and helping people to reflect on them. In the last few weeks, we've been focusing on individual psalms after the Holy Father talked about the psalms themselves being pivotal and really primary source of the life of prayer for people, that they almost give us a language and a way to talk to God and express all of our different emotions. And one of the beautiful things for myself, even just reflecting on these, you know, because the psalms are such a regular part of my daily prayer, I'm so familiar with them, I don't often spend a lot of time giving extra reflection to them. And the Holy Father is really drawing out a lot of different colors and insights to them that maybe I just had forgotten or not necessarily reflected on before. For example, with this one this past week on Psalm 126, he explained how this was a psalm of a return from exile. You know, he likened it to Job having his fortunes restored after experiencing tremendous loss, and how God more than compensated for that pain, and that his faithfulness was rewarded in an extravagant way. But he also pointed out that there's almost a sense of contradiction that you can sense in it, that there's something that's been fulfilled and there's been something that has been restored, but then there's also sounds of prayers being offered that reflect that it's only partially been done. It's not been completed, that things have not been finalized in a sense, you know, just that there's that sense of incompleteness. And as I was just sitting with that, it really kind of reflects just the human being in itself and in our relationship with God. That, you know, we so often can focus on particular intentions and prayers that we're confronting or struggling with, or that we're bringing to the Lord, and things that are really weighing heavy on us right now, but we're not necessarily seeing that in the grand scheme of our lives. That whatever affliction we're going through right now is, in a sense, will always be a temporary thing. You know, that because our lives are temporary, our lives here on this earth are temporary. That, you know, our exile is in the sense that we're waiting to go home ultimately to the Lord and being united with Him in all eternity. So that it's always got to be seen from that vantage point. It's interesting as I'm sitting with this and recognizing that for the Old Testament, that sense of the afterlife, what happens after death, was something that was somewhat mysterious to them, that they didn't have a full sense of heaven, final judgment, a sense of being in eternal happiness and eternal peace. And that, you know, as Jesus gives us so many beautiful images that we look forward to in terms of preparing a mansion for us and preparing a place for us in the banquet, as we reflected on in Psalm 23 about the Lord being my shepherd, and, you know, how that was seen in a particular way in the Old Testament and brought to fulfillment in the New. Well, I was sitting with that with this one as well in Psalm 126, where, you know, there's that sense of being in exile, and that there is historical realities that were being reflected on here, where they were talking about coming back from Babylonia and coming back to Jerusalem. And that there was a sense, even in those moments, where as much as they were celebrating, there's also a sense of loss, that it's not what it was in that sense. You know, like the temple wasn't what had been devastated, the city had been in shambles and ruins and stuff. So there was a lot that still needed to be done, even though the fact that they were even back was, quote unquote, like a dream, as the psalmist says. So you get like that whole sense of mixed emotions there. And for us, you know, looking at it from with New Testament lenses, looking at through the prism of the resurrection of Jesus, we recognize that that's going to always be the case for us on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity, that You know, even prayers that are answered here, you know, if a friend of ours gets that miracle cure from whatever disease that they're struggling with, if someone recovers from some illness, we know ultimately all those are temporary, that, you know, every one of us will still at some point face death. And we don't say that to be somber or depressed, but in the sense of recognizing just that reality, that this is our temporary homeland. We're going to a permanent homeland, and that's what the scriptures are constantly keeping our visions focused on, or trying to get our visions focused on. And one of the ways that we do that, and I think, you know, that the Holy Father mentions here, is that he very beautifully says we have to look at the events of our life that the Lord has protected, guided, and helped us, and praise him for what he has done and continues to do for us. And this part I really loved. He said, we must be more attentive to the good things that the Lord gives us. We're always attentive to the problems, to the difficulties. And it's as if we did not want to see that there are beautiful things that come to us from the Lord as well. And I'm like, how true is that? You know, we can rattle off a list of things that we're worried about and anxious about, concerned about, but recognizing how God has answered prayers, how God has protected us, how God has restored fortunes for us and done wondrous things in our lives, they can very quickly recede from our view. It's why one of the practices that has really been revolutionary for me in my own life of prayer is just spending part of my daily prayer in Thanksgiving, where the beginning of my holy hour, I have to come up with three things that I'm grateful for. And just, I'm committed to doing a journal, so I've been doing that in my journal. And I was just explaining this to someone in spiritual direction. I'm like, there's days that could be a struggle. And there's days that I might have a whole list of things that I really want to like bring to prayer, like things I'm upset about or angry about or just feeling meh about or whatever it is. And because I have this journal that has the gratitude section first, it's almost like the Lord is constantly saying to me, you know, we could talk about anything you want, but we got to start with some things that you're thankful for. And usually just having to sit there and sometimes really just dig deep and try to say, like, what is something I'm thankful for today? Even if I'm feeling miserable, even if I'm feeling upset, even if I'm feeling aggravated, you know, can I name some things that I'm thankful for? And just doing that doesn't magically erase the emotions that I might be experiencing, but it does give me that different perspective that not all is lost. And I think that that's what the Holy Father is encouraging us to do, is saying, like, not forgetting God's been faithful. And if I'm going before him right now and I'm bringing things to him, I have to come from a place of saying that who is God? God is faithful. God is loving. He's all good. He's here. He's attentive to me. He's listening to my prayers. And I need to make sure that I'm coming with the right disposition to that, rather than coming and saying, here's another problem that you need to handle. Thanks. And then check out. So between that and the other part of it too is I think that that opens us up to sometimes letting go of pain that we're holding on to, sometimes holding on to grief. You know, at one point when I was reading through this and he was talking about Job and, you know, how Job went through that whole lengthy dialogue with his friends who were trying to help him. Well, they started from a place of trying to help him, but in a lot of ways they ended up making things worse, as they were saying, obviously you must have done something that got upset. And because they were trying to fill the space with words rather than just being with him and being attentive to him, you know, they ended up almost trying to sow seeds of doubt. And, you know, I think we have those kinds of friends enter into our lives, whether they're actual friends or just the voices in our head, the doubts that creep in when we're going through a really rough time, when we're experiencing grief. And I remember when I lost my father almost 10 years ago, and I was seeing a Catholic psychologist at the time, who, very good and very faithful man, and he said something along the lines of, like, of having to let go of the grief. And I snapped at him. I got so aggravated. And in fact, I got so angry, I cursed and I kind of like ended the session. And it took about 2 months before I was ready to go see him again. And when we finally started up again, he said, "So I guess we finally got in touch with that stage of grief called anger." And I had to laugh, and I did laugh, and I said to him, like, "Yeah, I never quite understood all the stages of grief before, but now I have a better appreciation of it." And my reaction was in the sense of saying, like, I didn't want to let go of the grief because I didn't want, in a sense, to let go of my dad. I didn't want to let go of feeling badly about his absence, physical absence from my life right now, and felt like, in a sense, by doing that, I was somehow dishonoring him or forgetting him or something along those lines. And, you know, and it wasn't like the therapist was saying to me not to have any emotions, not to have any feelings, or not to be sad that I had those experiences. But, you know, there's a part of it that I think we do have to get to a place where we are ready to let go of that grief and recognize that it's okay not to feel sad or angry or depressed about things, and that that's not dishonoring the person. That wasn't dishonoring my father, and that, you know, he wanted me to continue on and stuff. You know, that's not obviously something we say to people that are just in the initial stages of grief, like at the funeral or something like that. And there's not necessarily a timeline for that. And I think that that's always the difficulty when we're in pastoral situations. So that's why it's easy to kind of talk about it in this setting here when we're reflecting on the Psalms and saying, like, what is so beautiful about the Psalms is that they meet us in every different stage of our emotions. And so I can reflect on this now and say, like, I can see the insight to that. And hopefully that's a lesson I've learned when I experience future losses and when I'm going through difficult times in the future, recognizing that, yeah, this too will pass, and not in a dismissive way, like I'm pretending like this doesn't bother me or that this doesn't matter. It does matter. But ultimately what matters is like that I know that God is with me in this, and that I can trust him, that he's good, he's faithful, and he will restore our fortunes. And that when ultimately we will get to a day where the celebration and the joy of that restoration is final, it's complete, it's fully realized. So those are just a lot of my ramblings for this week. I hope the Psalm has been good for you. I hope the catechesis are meaningful to you. And always happy to hear from you. So please feel free to add your comments in our Facebook group, or you can always send me messages over there as well. Thanks so much for journeying with us in this catechesis and the study. And I pray you have a good week, good weekend, and I will see you soon. God bless you.